For those of you who get our e-newsletter, you know that we heard from Michael. Have you heard more, Jill? We heard from Michael that they were still alive and had poured a foundation. I think it was Thursday morning we'd heard that. So they should be on their way home, and we look forward to having Brother Michael back with us next week. We continue our readings from Genesis. This morning we're in chapter 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, blessed be your name forever and ever. Amen. The evening was just passing into darkness. The stars were becoming visible. Christos Valenti took his youngest child, his most beloved child, with him in his truck. She loved to go with him to visit friends. They drove to the place he had been directed to the place in the park where all the trees were. He took the child's hand, and together they walked into the quiet darkness. In the darkness, she held on to his hand more tightly. "Don't be afraid," he said. "We are going to meet God." "I don't know anyone named God," she said. "You will meet him soon," was the answer, and they walked on in silence. When they arrived at the appointed place, Valenti took his daughter and asked her to lie down on the grass. "Start praying the Our Father who art in heaven," he said. And he took a knife and took her life. He sat next to her body and prayed for several minutes, and when he looked up, he saw her star shining brightly in the sky. He saw two stars moving closer together, and he knew that he had fulfilled her destiny. He picked her up and took her home. When his oldest daughter opened the door, she saw her father holding the child there like the Pieta. "Call the police," he said. "I have given her to God." That's the summary of a report given to police in a small California town the night of January 6, 1990, at a Christmas pageant in which his daughter played a star. Valenti said he had heard God speaking to him. When he was arrested, he told the police God needed her to put her in a star. Ultimately, a jury found Valenti not guilty by reason of insanity. What makes Valenti a crazy killer and Abraham a hero of our faith? What's the difference? This is our fourth week with Abraham. His story in Genesis spans 14 chapters, an amazing amount of scripture to be dedicated to one man. We first met Abraham as Abram when God called he and his wife to a new land. Already the couple had struggled with infertility. For years they had hoped and tried and prayed and cried for a child. For years they had wondered what they were doing wrong, wondered if God was punishing them. Abram and Sarai were the first reported barren couple in what will be a family of barrenness, a family that could not exist were it not for God. We saw this Abraham and Sarah finally decide to have a child through a slave, a surrogate mother. We saw them extend radical hospitality to three strangers who then promised a natural child to this geriatric couple, a promise so ridiculous that the postmenopausal Sarah laughed. And later, when Isaac was born to her as promised, everyone laughed at the joy of the birth, at the absurdity of God, at the terror that they had dared to laugh when Isaac was promised by the God for whom nothing is impossible. Then last week, we saw this surrogate slave mother, Hagar, and her son Ishmael, sent away at the time of Isaac's weaning, probably at about age 3. Well, time has passed. Isaac has grown so that in today's story, most Bible students place Isaac's age somewhere between 12 and 22. And just in case all of the stories we've read this summer haven't been troubling enough, we now pause at this chilling place where Abraham is prepared to sacrifice the son that could only be a gift from God back to the God who gave him. What was Abraham thinking? Is he crazy? What makes Abraham any different than Christos Valenti, who killed his daughter so God could put her in a star? A couple weeks ago during Sunday school, I read this Genesis story in some of our youth classes. I asked some of our very own youth, who were about the age Isaac was when this story took place, what they thought about this story. I asked them what Abraham and Isaac might have been thinking. Right away, the kids could guess some of the things Isaac might have been thinking. That Isaac felt betrayed, confused, terrified, furious. Maybe Isaac did think Abraham was crazy. Abraham's over 100. You think they had Alzheimer's back then? Do you think Isaac was wondering if he maybe needed to get Dad to a nursing home? A nursing tent? Our youth wondered if Isaac really believed that Abraham had gotten it right. And if this is really what God wants, Dad, then why didn't God tell me? Our kids even wondered what it must have been like after Isaac was freed, after the ram was sacrificed in his place, after Abraham and Isaac began the long journey home. What was that trip like? One of our kids said that Isaac probably said, "Really, Dad, you go first. I think I'd like you in front of me." And one of our youth teachers even said, "I am never going to worship with Dad again. They never do stuff like this at Mom's church." But our youth, our teachers said this because they remembered that I had told them Isaac was at least 12 or older when this story happened. Isaac was strong enough to carry the wood. Isaac was grown enough at least to struggle with a 100-year-old man. Isaac was old enough to know what was going on. Oh my. Isaac was old enough to know what was going on. How do you think Isaac dealt with the fact that his father was ready to sacrifice him? Abraham may not have wounded Isaac with a knife, but Isaac was wounded nonetheless. I wonder how Isaac processed all that. I wonder how he felt. And years later, was it hard for Isaac to worship this terrifying God? But to understand this story, what we really want to know, what's even harder to figure out, is what was Abraham thinking? What was Abraham thinking? I am offended that Abraham seems willing to sacrifice his son without a word of protest. At least none is recorded in this story. Abraham argued with God about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, but not his own son, not the miracle child that God had gave them, not the one through whom all of God's promises would come. What is that? What was Abraham thinking? And how does Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his own son qualify him to be a father of our faith? The Lord Jesus himself wrestled more with God in the Garden of Gethsemane than Abraham did for his own son. Oh my. Did you catch that? Jesus wrestled in the garden, asked for the cup to pass, pleaded on his knees, pleaded on his face, sweat what were like great drops of blood. Jesus wrestled in the garden. But Jesus' father didn't say a word either. You see, in today's story, Abraham acts just like God will later act. And all of the anguish and grief and terror that we can imagine for Abraham, all that we know Abraham must have felt, surely gives us a hint to what God the Father also felt all those years later, when the sky darkened and the wind howled, and the young Jesus walked up another Moriah, not carrying sticks, but a cross. Except for Jesus, there would be no ram, because Jesus is the Lamb. In today's story, clear back in Genesis, at the very beginning of our Bible, Abraham is acting out the gospel. This is a foreshadowing, a precursor, a hint of what one day will come, a hint of how one day all the nations of the earth will be blessed through the one seed of Abraham, God's Son. Even here, already, God is writing His love for us a love so strong it is terrifying. The difference is that Abraham was only asked to sacrifice his son. He didn't actually have to do it. He didn't actually have to do it. How strange, how troubling, how haunting is this story of the binding of Isaac, that God would ask it, that Abraham didn't argue, that Isaac didn't fight, that Abraham might have done it. Stranger still, that one day God the Father actually will. Abraham said the Lord would provide. And in the end, God did. What's the good news from this story in Genesis 22? That God can be trusted even when we don't understand. That God can be trusted even when we don't see a way. That God can be trusted even when we don't like what's going on. God can be trusted. But can we presume to know the mind of God? To know what God was thinking? We can't. We don't know the mind of God, and we never will. But we have a glimpse into the heart of God, who will give for us that which is too much to ask from us. We know the heart of our God because God did the unthinkable. God the Father did give His Son, His only Son, the one He loved. What makes Valenti crazy and Abraham a hero? The difference is their God. The Creator God who doesn't need our help to make the stars. The God who loves us so much, it's terrifying. The God we can trust, even with our most beloved and treasured gifts, even with those we love. Blessed be God's holy name. Amen. Once again, I ask you to keep the secret of our getting out early from Michael. And I do ask that as you go this week into all those places that you don't understand and that you don't even like, dare to believe that God can be trusted and that God will provide. In the name of the God we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.